Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Subtitle this episode, Sopranos All the Way. You can thank the author of Off the Back of a Truck, a new tome about HBO's organized crime TV classic. The author is Nick Braccia, and he joins me next here in New York. Also in our corner, Netflix brings on Pope Francis, Fox and Pepsi get game together, NBC's Night Court comeback, our classic trivia question, and the return of a popular science fiction series today on Amazon is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. We're also present on iHeartRadio and Amazon Music's podcast network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised, brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Nice to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon, and the snow is coming down here in the Big Apple. 30 degrees at the top of the hour. Snow started this winter storm about an hour ago. Right now, the latest word is, if you're watching the Weather Channel, they are still projecting 12 inches or more before this storm gets very heavy tonight and wraps up between noon and 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. Some local TV stations have downplayed the snow totals. They're now saying anywhere from 5 to 10 inches, less on Long Island, more upstate New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and further down. It all depends on where you are. I know that Washington and Philadelphia and New Jersey are getting a lot of snow, and again, that's all coming our way. Wonderful guests coming your way and ours over the next hour or so, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Make the call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. As always, the number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Chat room is open for business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our chat room, at our webpage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, tune in, screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Nick Braccia joins us live from Nueva York after these news notes. Pope Francis is about to become a Netflix attraction. The service will create a 4-episode nonfiction series based on Sharing the Wisdom of Time, the Pope's best-selling book from 2 years ago. Francis will be joined by elder citizens of the world over age 70, recounting their adventures and life lessons to under 30 filmmakers. In a separate circumstance, Netflix will debut another 4-episode documentary January 29th. We Are the Brooklyn Saints covers a youth football team from inner city NYC, Brooklyn specifically. Pepsi has a game show role with Fox next February. In Cherry's Wild, inspired by the cola drink's wild cherry flavor, contestant teams saw pop culture puzzlers for a go with one giant slot machine going for $250,000 if they land 5 wild cherry picks on one spin. Remember Night Court, NBC's 1980s oddball comedy set in the Manhattan Arrangement Center with Harry Anderson as the judge? Well, it looks like an updated version of that series is in the works at NBC. John Larroquette, whose turn as lawyer Dan Fielding won 4 Supporting Actor Emmy Awards, will return as Fielding and co-produce. Former Big Bang Theory producer Melissa Rauch will oversee the revival out to find viewers next fall. Now some quickies before our guests. Samantha Bee and her Full Frontal series will continue for season 6 at TBS. Former Netflix Prom executive Carolyn Newman has joined Will Packer Media as scripted TV chief. Premier Lacrosse League and Major League Lacrosse will unite next summer with 8 teams playing games on NBC and NBCSN, that's this All Sports Network. And Telemundo's first 2021 novella, rom-com La Suerte de Loli, that's Loli's Fate, debuts January 26th. And that is news notes for now. And now joining us from here in New York, the author of the new best-selling book, Off the Truck, of the back of the truck. Here's author and producer Nick Braccia. Nick, welcome in. Happy holiday season to you.
And to you, Simon. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So what got you interested in doing a book about The Sopranos?
Good question to kick off. It's one of those shows where, you know, I grew up in the tri-state area, you know, where we are in Fairfield County. But as anyone from the area knows, New York, New Jersey, and, you know, Long Island, any place that's commutable to New York, there's certainly some shared culture, particularly with respect to immigrants, myself being a second-generation Italian-American immigrant. as well as the way that class works. And those things are kind of at the heart of the show. So from when it premiered, just after I was out of college, it was immediately intriguing to me. It's also, you know, we're now in this period of just enormous amounts of peak television, and you can really trace it all back to The Sopranos. And there's never been a better time simply because the movie, The Many Saints of Newark, is due out in March. Originally, it was supposed to come out in August, or rather September, but they pushed it due to COVID. And I thought, you know, knowing that that movie was coming out, it seemed like a great time to make what I thought would be the ideal companion reader for the show. There are some terrific books out that are episode guides, so I wanted to do something different. And so I pitched this idea to Simon & Schuster.
Before we get into how you framed the book, why do you think The Sopranos became the, you might say, one of the linchpins of this era of peak TV, plentiful TV, and some might argue, who are fans of the show, cinematic TV?
I think because, to put it simply, it scratched so many itches. It was so sophisticated, and it told a very nuanced novelistic story that provided both escapist kicks, like gangster entertainment always has, but also a bit of a mirror for ourselves as, you know, in our case, New Yorkers or, you know, tri-state area people, but also for Americans and consumerists. It really hit at the perfect time. You know, Tony says in the very first episode, he feels like he came in at the end of things, and he's talking about the garbage business or the mob, the Italian-American mob specifically. But I think where we were at as a culture at the end of the millennium and into this new one, that Tony's anxiety is something that resonated with people no matter who they were.
Mm-hmm. You know, also, this was a breakthrough in the genre of organized crime shows on television. When you think of programs back in the 60s like The Untouchables, and The Lawless Years, both of which you can see episodes on YouTube, organized crime was pretty much portrayed black and white. You know, you knew they were the bad guys. You knew they were shooting people up all over the place. You knew that they were ruthless and so forth. The Sopranos went way beyond that. It was, you could argue, was the first, as put together by David Chase and his crew, it was the first organized crime drama where the characters were more gray than they were black and white. And secondly, it also gave you the family life of the gangsters. You know, in this case, Tony Soprano, played by the late, great James Gandolfini, had the wife, played by the brilliant Edie Falco, had, you know, the family, so forth. And it was much about how the family had to grow in this whole organized crime environment as much as Tony did.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's funny. Part of writing the book was tracing back to the DNA, and there's some work about this in the book and some essays to see what sort of shows and gangster shows, you know, kind of played in this ground beforehand. And the only one that I think really it was sort of a precedent was Wise Guy, which was produced by Stephen J. Cannell, who David Chase had a strong working relationship with from Rockford Files and throughout his career. He was definitely a collaborator and partner. If people don't know the show Wise Guy, it starred Ken Wahl and Jonathan Banks, who went on to fame in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. But it also included the late, great Ray Sharkey as a gangster named Sonny Steelgrave. And he ends up being really the emotional center of the first 10 episodes or so of that series. And the first time that we get the sense of the gangster as emotionally vulnerable. And I see some of that Ray Sharkey and Sonny Steelgrave DNA peppered throughout multiple characters on The Sopranos, not just Tony, but also his nephew, Christopher Moltisanti. But The Sopranos was certainly the first big hit that did it. And what's been interesting to me is that since it aired, it kind of ended the contemporary gangster show. I feel like when crime shows hit big now, things like Narcos, they're international, they're about dark money. The idea of a show played straight about the Italian-American mob, kind of hard to come by. I mean, I guess people don't want to compete, and I can certainly understand that.
Yeah. By the way, I think a lot of people appreciate Wise Guy now than when it appeared on CBS for, I believe it was 3 seasons, because of the brilliance of Stephen J. Cannell's work and David's work and Ken Wall's performance. And as you mentioned, Ray Sharkey, who is a fantastic actor who left this earth way too soon. And Jerry Lewis's performance also in a very unusual
role. And so, I love that. I love the Jerry Lewis stuff.
We're speaking with Nick Braccia. He is the author of the brand new book, Off the Back of a Truck, dealing with the popular HBO series The Sopranos. He's with us live here in Nueva York, where the snow is starting to flake down here this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Tom Allen with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us. If you have a question or comment for Nick, make a call for us, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple041N. Whenever you do, don't miss our next episode Friday afternoon. We got a blockbuster one for you. You're going to hear about what may be one of the first major new ventures in television in 2021. It's called Black Tag. It's a venture that the organizers describe as a combo Netflix and YouTube for African-American creators on smart TV sets and smart devices. You will meet the two people behind this venture, Chief Executive Officer Akin Ablabe and President Usman Sako Sow, in a first internet-exclusive interview. And then, as promised before, the executive producer of the popular Fox medical drama The Resident, Andrew Chapman and Peter Elkott. So be sure to be with us. It's going to be a super hour, and we'll have you with us Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. Do not miss. This is going to be a real blockbuster, I promise you. If you haven't heard about Black Tag in particular, I think you'll want to hear about it after you catch our program. That's Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And given, Nick, that you had these other Soprano books to work with, how did you try to frame your book?
So I know there's great websites like Soprano Autopsy, run by, I think, a guy named Ron Bernard, and there's a Soprano Sessions book by Alan Steppenwell and Matt Zoller Seitz. Terrific book that's kind of an episode guide from the built off of the work that they had done writing as like weekly recappers and TV essayists. So I wanted to do something different. What I did was to design, produce, edit, and co-write the book as the host of a party. I basically cast the book with about a dozen people, all with their own lenses and specialties, particularly in areas where I didn't feel like I would be the strongest guy to talk about. So I did interviews with psychiatrists. I brought in food writers, an ex-cop friend who worked as a Port Authority cop, and was able to dig in with me on some of the crime that inspired the show and talk to some real mob associates to kind of get the skinny there. My mentor, Steve Weinberg, contributed an essay on method acting, really focusing on the two key performances by Edie Falco and James Gandolfini and the kind of the way that those performances crescendo in the episodes, the classic episode, Whitecaps. TV critics like Phil Dice Nugent and Scott Von Doviak, who wrote for years for AV Club. Just a real – what I really wanted to create, what's the most interesting cocktail party that you could walk into if you were a fan of the show and wanted to enrich your appreciation from every angle possible.
Did you approach David Chase or Terry Winter, one of the other key writers on the show, or some of the producers, Edie, the remaining cast members is still with us, to either bounce off ideas or get their appreciation or acknowledgement for doing this?
No, we decided to really keep it outside as a piece of television, really a piece of pop television criticism. And we wanted a little bit of distance there. The time I did interact with the cast somewhat was when I attended Sopranos Con last November, and I write about that experience in the book, a terrific experience, and they're going to be doing it again, I believe, this summer, COVID pending, in Atlantic City, where I was able to chat a little bit with most of the cast members, talk to them about the book, and really it was a great time to catch up with all of those, that wonderful cast and crew. But as far as the book itself, it's really it's a viewer's appreciation versus a behind-the-scenes approach.
Yeah. With all the collaborators you had in putting this together, what for you was the most surprising revelation that you found?
Oh, that's really interesting. I mean, so many interesting things happen in crafting the book. And new chapters and essays would unfold as I was, introducing collaborators to the ideas. For example, a terrific professor of Italian American studies and culture at multiple universities in New York who lives out on Long Island, Fred Graduffy. I originally pinged him because I wanted a little piece specifically about slang. But when I found out the level of depth of his studies around Italian-American culture and masculinity, it turned into this multifaceted interview about that. And I learned, you know, lots and lots of insights from him about the immigrant experience, about the push-pull between success and family, and all of these things that you can certainly see in the DNA of the show. So that was, you know, that was a surprise. Getting each person to write about their favorite episodes and what every individual picked and why was kind of fascinating. I myself selected the season 5 episode Marco Polo because it so deftly explores the class divisions. You know, The Sopranos doesn't have an upstairs downstairs scenario like Downton Abbey that's clearly delineated, but that stuff's there. And that episode in particular, the whole series captures it, but in Marco Polo, it's kind of a microcosm of that whole amazing dynamic. And that episode was written by Michael Imperioli, who really wrote, I think, some of the most interesting episodes on the show. I guess the other thing that was kind of a surprise was seeing where everyone netted out in the final chapter of the book, which is framed as a conversation about specifically the finale and what we all think happened. And I don't want to spoil too much there, but I will say the conversation went on for so long between all of us, and there was so much debate that we were only able to publish about a quarter of it, just for the sake of brevity and keeping it succinct.
Even today, people still talk about that last minute of that program, that last episode, and and people still wonder: did David Chase deliberately do that because he wanted to have the viewer make up their own ending? Or just that they, you know, the writing team looked at all sorts of possibilities and finally decided, nope, David, you created this show, you went it the way you want.
I mean, to give away a little bit about what I think, I believe that he wanted it to end ambiguously, because I think it, and I'm not in David Chase's head, but I suspect that he made such a complex, nuanced show about the human and American experience. And then there's all these people talking about, we want more whacking, less yakking. Part of it is that he didn't necessarily want to satisfy and give it like a kind of a gangster movie conclusion. But at the same time, as he said, it's all there. And Mark DeLello very, very brilliantly breaks it down in his essay on cinematography and editing in the show, how it is all in fact there. And I tend to agree with it. I think that there are plenty of clues as to what happens at the end. But I also believe that in terms of the themes and tone of the show, it kind of doesn't matter. The Sopranos family and most of the characters are complex but self-deluded. They're unlikely to change. They're going to keep going on and on and on, like the journey song says. And those onion rings I've always looked at that Tony's popping into his mouth as the circular treadmill that he doesn't know how to get off of. So whether he gets shot or whether he sits there eating onion rings, he's kind of dead either way.
After all this time, personal thought, I think it's one of the most brilliant endings ever done because it ends exactly the way I think David wanted to. There's this sense and you are left as the viewer to sort of make up your own ending. You know, you can believe it whatever you want to believe, and that's the great thing is that you have total creator. It's like you play director or you play writer. It's total creator freedom on the audience's part.
Yes, and so many people have projected so much onto it. I mean, here we are 14 years, you know, and change after it aired, and I never get sick of talking about it. The other thing about the show
–
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No. The other, you know, whether he dies or not, death hovers over that last episode. And one of the other things that I guess I would say was a surprise about writing the book is there's a chapter in it that I wrote which goes on for about 80 pages called Whack Attack, where I write small essays. Some are short. Some are, you know, 3 or 4 pages about all 92 deaths on the show. And what really blew my mind in writing that chapter over a couple of months last summer is – how much he packs in to what at the time might seem like an aside or a minor character. It's the show. It just has layer upon layer within. And people talk about their great show as being, you know, novelistic. But I really feel like when you – there's still, after five or six times watching a scene or an episode, that there are new things to discover that were most certainly intentional.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody in the book talk about how the series impacted their TV viewing afterwards, now after it was all over?
We spend more time focusing on the David Chase's career up to, and shows like Rockford and Wise Guy and movies like The Friends of Eddie Coyle and Elaine May's Mikey and Nikki, things that we think, and even Twin Peaks, things that we think influenced Chase more than the legacy. Alan Sepinwall in his book, I think it's called The Revolution Will Be Televised, really does such a great job chronicling the birth of peak television. I felt like that story had been told more than, you know, for people who love TV and crime entertainments, you know, what has Chase said? What did Chase do beforehand, whether on, you know, Northern Exposure or Rockford or any of the other shows that he worked on? And what were the real, if somebody loves The Sopranos, where do the ideas in it and the textures in it and the characters in it come from? So we wanted to open up a world kind of going backwards versus show how The Sopranos influenced 20 years of peak television.
Yeah. Do you ever wonder whether Chase will come back to television at some point and attempt something different?
I do wonder, but I don't think he will. I think he always wanted to make movies. And he came to, you know, he had his hit, The Sopranos, after – you know, a decades-long career as, you know, a real workhorse in TV, as an EP, as a writer, and doing some unconventional shows himself that didn't hit. But he always wanted to make movies. And The Sopranos, in a lot of ways, does feel like an 86-episode movie. And I think that that's one of the reasons why, when he's returning to the story, I mean, the irony, of course, now is that it's going to premiere on HBO Max. But is that I felt like, you know, that's where his heart is. And I'm not sure exactly how old he is. I think he's probably in his early 70s. And I believe that the cinema is where he'll spend his additional time should he continue making things.
Off the Back of a Truck, the story about The Sopranos with a lot of people contributing. That's the book we're talking about today on Tomorrow Be Televised with its author, Nick Braccia, who joins us here in New Weva York. And we have a few more minutes with him. And in a moment, we'll talk about what he may be up to in the world of television in 2021. If a question or comment for him, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name, and stand by because you'll have an opportunity to win his book with our classic trivia question of the week. So stay tuned. That'll be coming your way after the bottom of the hour. And coming up next Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, you'll meet an Emmy Award-winning documentary producer and director whose one of his most popular works is Diana, in her own words. Perfect timing because of Netflix running The Crown, its latest season, which has a great performance, by the way, by the woman playing Diana. We'll talk to him about that and some other projects he's working on. His name is Tom Jennings, and you'll be very interested in what he has to say. Plus, Cleo TV, the TV One spinoff, has its first major scripted series in prime time now. It's called Tough Love LA, based on a popular web series. We'll talk to its creators, Caleb and Ronnie Davis. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Television. Don't forget, Monday, we'll be coming your way with the first of three back-to-back-to-back episodes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. So with 2021 approaching, Nick, what about any TV projects for you?
Well, I'm independent right now, and most of my career in entertainment has been at various entertainment marketing agencies, like Campfire, where I spent 7 years helping networks like Amazon, Netflix, HBO, position and market their shows. So I'm lining up what I'm working on in 2021 right now. But the project that I'd like to see come to fruition, although there are no TV plans for it yet, is in 2018, my friend and creative partner Mike Minello, who was one of the producers of the Blair Witch Project back in 1999, we executive produced, co-created, and kind of show ran a podcast for Shudder, which is AMC's streaming horror service, as you probably know. And that was called Video Palace. And that show did quite well, you know, on all the podcast channels and on the Shudder platform, and spun off, and we expanded that franchise into a book, also published by Simon & Schuster's Tiller Press, called Video Palace: In Search of the Eyeless Man. And that just came out this past Halloween. So our goal and what we're really driving to do, you know, in the next year or so, and we'll be hopefully talking to AMC and Shudder about this, is look how to take it beyond audio and the written word. And I'd love to see video palettes evolve either, you know, as a miniseries, as a movie. And those are we're definitely looking to take steps in that direction. And hopefully those seeds will be planted in the early quarters of 2021.
It's a good time to do it, Nick, because podcast interest among all sorts of TV players is high. We did a takeaway of the week last week about the fact that, as I said, the podcast you listen to today can become the TV series you love tomorrow. Howard Report did a story last Monday suggesting that there's over 100 podcasts, over 100, that are now being looked at as mostly for TV adaptation, some for film. And you're seeing this incredible variety of players from Spotify to Pandora to Gimlet Media to Wondery all developing. You have companies also that are independent that are going to the marketplace with podcasts designed to become TV shows down the road. So you may be in very, very exciting territory.
I hope so. It was a wonderful, wonderful project to work on as a storyteller and producer. And the way I also look at it as a marketer is that, you know, 10, 12 years ago, maybe even 15 years ago, the graphic novel is where everyone would go hunting for that intellectual property, right? First it was books, then forever it was comics and graphic novels, which birthed things like The Walking Dead and Preacher and countless other shows. And over the last couple of years, we've seen, you know, podcast creation, and it certainly varies in terms of quality, but the barrier to entry as a creator overall is considerably lower than, you know, making a graphic novel where the art and the creation of that art needs to be so specific and can be so expensive. So there's, you know, I think a lot of smart indie creative people have turned to podcasts and it's become this almost like learning lab or hunting ground for creative executives to pick up intellectual property.
Before you go, what's your favorite TV series right now, and what TV series, whatever the genre is, you're looking forward to watching next year?
Oh boy, I'd say that I just watched a documentary today that I loved, which is My Octopus Teacher. So I've got cephalopods on the brain, but you know, right now I'm going back through some of the really terrific X-Files episodes on Hulu. I know that's old. I tend to watch a lot of old stuff. I watched Columbo and Barney Miller. As far as new stuff, I am frankly really enjoying The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. I look forward to that dropping every Friday for, you know, 30 or 40 minutes of escapist entertainment. In 2021, for things that are coming out, I mean, the stuff I'm really looking forward to catching up with that I've been behind on because I've been spending so much time writing are things like The Alienist, the second season of that. And I'm behind on The Crown. So those are two things that I'm certainly, you know, looking to dive into. You can actually help fill me in a little bit. In terms of big shows dropping in 2021, what's on your radar? What should I be paying attention to?
Well, since you raised The Mandalorian, WandaVision, which is the first new Disney Plus series, looks like it'll be a spectacular lineup in next year, which premieres in mid-January. I've seen the preview sizzle reel, and it looks dynamite, both in black and white and color. It's a mind blower from what I understand.
Yeah, I like that comic, and I like the visual style. I think that's a really out-there idea. And, frankly, we all saw this from their big press conference last week, but in terms of original IP, yeah, Disney Plus has an incredibly robust and thoughtful lineup. So that's WandaVision, definitely. Of the stuff they've got coming out in 2021, probably the one I'm looking most forward to.
The book, again, is called Off the Back of a Truck. And if you want more details online for it, here's where you go. bit.ly/SopranosBook. That's bit.ly/SopranosBook. Also available, you can find out more at Amazon.com. And also Simon Schuster's website, I'm sure, has information about it too. And again, stay tuned because you have an opportunity to win that book with our classic trivia question of the week. That's coming up after the bottom of the hour. Nick Braccia, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on how the book is going and your love for The Sopranos and everybody who contributed to the book. And have a fantastic holiday season and a great 2021. And I hope your podcast does become a TV series down the road. If so, we'd love to have you back.
Thanks so much, Simon. Really appreciate you having me on, and enjoy and stay safe during this blizzard.
All right, will do. You too, wherever you where you're a part of whoever New York is. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Nick Braccia joining us here in New York again. The book is called Off the Back of a Truck, Dealing with the Sopranos. And again, more online from bit.ly/Sopranos book, also Amazon.com. More tomorrow, Big Hellby is coming your way, but first some words to the fine folks at audible.com. If you're looking for a very unusual Western, here's one for you, Untamed by Diana Palmer. And if you want to give that as an audiobook to someone you love this holiday season or beyond, well, how about becoming a trial run person with audible.com? Like today or before this week is out. You know, audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. You list them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera. And remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised, one free audiobook, 1 month trial, plus health and wellness information. And boy, do we need that now. And great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And remember, if you're an Amazon Prime customer ready, make that 2 audiobooks during your trial. Also, if you go to audibletrial.com/televised, you can find out how you can skip the trial and become an Amazon, an Audible member using Audible Plus, where you can get your first 6 months of your subscription for only $4.95 a month. So, for all that detail, it's audibletrial.com/televised. And find out for yourself or someone you love how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Coming up next, our classic trivia question of the week and our show to know. It just started its 5th season today on Amazon. All that after we pause after the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com. Together reaching over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, it's Daytime After Dark. It's a very exciting entertainment show with some very unique guests and a whole lot more. Daytime After Dark. Check it out tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, BTR, the best of it, 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Again, the flakes are starting to come down. We are in a winter storm warning. We've been that way for the last hour. And right now it looks like the heaviest of the snow is supposed to happen overnight. It is already in, I believe, D.C. and Philadelphia, little parts of the eastern seaboard. And right now the current projection from the Weather Channel is 12 to 18 inches or more. Here in New York, local TV stations are now saying 5 to 10 inches. We'll see what happens by this time tomorrow afternoon when the storm is expected to move out of our area. If you're in upstate New York, you're expected to get more. New Jersey, perhaps a little less. You may even get in some markets rain, in some areas rain, or a mix of sleet, rain, and snow. We'll see what happens. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And as mentioned, if you're first with the correct answer on this one, you can win a Nick Braccia's book, Off the Back of a Truck, published by Simon & Schuster, plus the Crazy Stupid Love DVD with Steve Carell, Ryan Gosling, Julianne Moore, Emma Stone, and crew, plus his wonderful money and card clip done by Talaria. Here's the question we first posted on Monday. Let's see if you can answer it. Who played the first pair of assistant district attorneys on Law & Order? Who played the first pair of assistant district attorneys on Law & Order back in 1990 on NBC? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, enclose not only your answer, but your name and address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you as soon as possible. And if we don't get a winner by the end today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Simon Applebaum is my Facebook place. And on Twitter, it's at UBC Simon TWBT. At UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so. If you've already won before, let somebody else win and have themselves a wonderful Merry Christmas or Hanukkah, which wraps up, I believe, today, or other things too. So remember, get involved. And, of course, all the very best. And now it's time for our regular feature, A Show to Know, where we highlight a program that we think is worth your watching. You might not know about it because it's not well promoted, publicized, or falls under the radar screen of critics and journalists. 5 years ago, Sci-Fi premiered what turned out to be one of the most acclaimed series ever, The Expanse. We, in fact, on that year, we did have the executive producer of that show, who developed the program for a best-selling novel, Mark Fergus and Hawk Oxbeam. That Expanse had a great 3-year run on Sci-Fi. Then Amazon picked it up, had the 4th season last year. Today started the 5th season and has already given the green light for one more and final season in 2021. If you've never seen The Expanse, it's a marvelous sci-fi program. It has everything you want if you're a big sci-fi fan. Great characterization, wonderful treatment of social issues. There's some politics involved, space travel, great special effects, and just an overall great ambiance that makes it a winner. Such a winner that, in fact, it won the Hugo Award, the science fiction version of the Oscar, for 3 times as Best Dramatic Presentation. It's great to see The Expanse back. Wonderful cast, by the way, and diverse, too. So once again, The Expanse is now running on Amazon. And if you want to know more details about it online, go to www.amazon or amazonstudios.com. That's www.amazon or amazonstudios.com. And one more thing. Nick Boccia, our guest in the last half hour, mentioned the big Disney Programming Investor Day last Thursday. Well, yours truly has come out today with a Tomorrow Be Televised column at Media Village about that investor presentation, and I called it Welcome to TV's Tomorrowland, Walt Disney. Bottom line, what Disney did last Thursday was to make its biggest bet yet about its future in television. So you can read that column right now at www.mediavillage.com. It's www.mediavillage.com. And while there, check out all the great reporting by people like Ed Martin, Ansley Aisley, also Charlene Weiser, Jeff Minsky, their tech correspondent, Jack Myers, the founder and owner of Media Village, and a whole lot more. Great reporting, great analysis on TV and media, and where it's all at and where it's all going. That's www.mediavillage.com. I want to welcome Purple Pill, by the way, just joined us in our chat room. If you have something you want to say, go ahead and put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906, before we go off the air in a few minutes. Incidentally, we now are running some of our select episodes of Tomorrow Be Televised over the last few months at Media Village. So if you miss out on our podcast, go to MediaVillage.com and check out our latest episodes. All righty, so we're going to wrap things up for today. Once again, for those of you just joining us, if you're here in the New York area, the winter storm warning is on. The snow is starting to come down. It's been coming down since 2 o'clock this afternoon. It is supposed to get very, very heavy overnight. We expect winds of about 20, 25 miles an hour, gusting to 35, 40 miles an hour. So if you're going out tonight or tomorrow here in the New York metro area, also in New Jersey, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., other parts of the eastern seaboard, please be very, very careful. And if you're up in Massachusetts, Boston, et cetera, where the storm may be coming to you in the next couple of hours, if you can take the time to stock up on stuff that you need over the next day or two, please do so. Once again, the current Weather Channel forecast is 12 inches or more in New York City proper. Local TV stations have downplayed it now to 5 to 10 inches. We'll see what happens about 24 hours. Anyway, coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, the third of our 3 episodes this week. Again, I hope you check it out because we have 2 wonderful segments for you. First up, we'll have the folks behind the new programming service, Black Tag. They're calling it the Netflix Combo YouTube for African-American creators. And it will premiere on smart TV sets and smart TV devices during the first few months of 2021. We'll have Chief Executive Officer Akin Agwabe and President Osman Sacko Sow. This is one of their first interviews, and I believe it's maybe their first radio or television interview since Black Tag announced a few weeks ago, which we had as a news note. And finally, rescheduled from last week, the executive producers of the popular Fox medical drama The Resident, Andrew Chapman and Peter Elcott. Then on Monday, we will have award-winning documentary producer director Tom Jennings. One of his most popular works, Diana in Her Own Words, is now playing on different TV places. And we'll have from the Cleo TV series Tough Love LA, creators Caleb and Ronnie Davis. And don't forget that on Monday, we will kick off a 3-episode week on Christmas week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, back to back to back. Coming up on Tuesday, we'll have the Chief Executive Officer of Boston Media, which just came out with its third health-oriented network on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's called Health for All. It's dealing with health issues for people of color, presented by doctors and nurses of color. Kevin Boston, the head of Boston Media, will join us. And also, we'll have a previous guest back with us, Brian Volkweis. He's from the Nacelle Company. They've done all sorts of very interesting nonfiction series on Netflix and other places. And he's got a very interesting new show on Amazon, just perfect for this holiday season, called A Toy Store Near You. So that's next Monday and Tuesday, coming your way right here on Swampy Televised. Two of our three-episode weeks, back-to-back-to-back, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up an episode you missed, go to that homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, check out the podcast. They're available to you the rest of this week and beyond at iTunes, Apple TV, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, and other cast sites, and at www.mediavillage.com. We always love hearing from you. What do you think about today's episode? What's your thoughts about The Sopranos and about where TV is at and where it's going? So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, we do respond to emails in 24 hours. And also, you can find me on Facebook 24/7. Follow me on Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum. Twitter is at UBC Simon TWBT. It says UBC Simon TWBT. However you communicate with us, we do respond. Why? Because we like what you have to say, and because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate at BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Steinberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Swampy Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. A subscription to Audible.com makes a great holiday gift that lasts a lifetime. So if you want more information, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Don't forget, if you go for the trial run, it's 1 month in nature. You get a free audiobook or two if you're an Amazon Prime customer already. And you can also find out about the Audible Plus subscription, where for the first 6 months of your run, it's available at $4.95 a month. But Swampy Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. If you're in the snowstorm, please bear with it as much as possible. Take it easy. If you have to travel, take as much time as possible. And we'll get through this, and we will get through this pandemic also. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now on Friday, again, especially with the snowstorm, please make it safe and make it great. And one more time, we will lift this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.